This edition of the Recruiter's Lounge is brought to you in part by Affinity Circles. Affinity Circles hosts the official online communities for over 100 leading university alumni associations and professional organizations, representing more than 12 million undergraduates and degree professionals worldwide. For more information about Affinity Circles and to take advantage of a special offer available only to my listeners, visit www.jimstroud.com/AC. That's www.jimstroud.com/AC. Radio
Talent. Innovative audio on demand.
Hi, I'm Jim Stroud. Welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge. The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry, and it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge. Hi, if you've been recruiting for more than 3 seconds, then you're well aware that there is a war for talent, but have no fear. You have a powerful ally, and it is called the Internet. Now, if you're not sure how to use the internet to find resumes or passive leads, then I suggest you check out my training videos. On my site, I have the Recruiter's Guide to Google, how to automate some of the sourcing process, and others that will take you from being a novice to an expert. And maybe if you're well acquainted with search engines, they definitely will take your skills just a little bit higher. But don't just take my word for it. Listen, if you would, to a testimonial from one of my customers.
Hi, Jim. This is Norm Lieberman. As you know, I'm the owner, president of a very successful recruiting firm. I'm an old-timer in the business, been in the business about 26 years. I'm very successful, but I'm not up to date and great on the computer. I get all my resumes the old-fashioned way by calling, dialing into companies. And then when I came across your site and talked to you, I decided to buy the video that you have on how to secure resumes via the Yahoo site. And I bought that, and it was just like you told me. Very easy to follow, very clear-cut, works great. Just like you said in the video, it wasn't laborious, it wasn't strung out with all kinds of technical information. You called it all down to very user-friendly material, and I can't thank you enough. It was more than worth the money, and hope you keep coming out with other videos, because you can count me as a customer. Appreciate it. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
If you would like to know how to use the internet to find resumes and passive leads online, simply go to my website, www.jimstroud.com, and click on the training videos link. It's at the top of the page. That's www.jimstroud.com. And again, click the training videos link, which is located at the top of the page. Thank you in advance for your business, and hope to hear your testimonial here soon.
Hello, welcome once again. This is Jim Stroud, your host of the Recruiter's Lounge. And with me in the lounge chair, looking as lovely and beautiful as ever, my co-host, you know her, you love her, Karen Madden. How are you, Karen?
I got to come on more often, because just that introduction makes me day. I swear, it carries me over for the week, okay?
You know, people don't say that when you normally walk in the room, the beautiful, the talented Karen Madden.
Well, I should make them. I should start paying people to do
so. Hey, on the blogosphere, you're known by other names, so at least I want to give you some positives on this show.
Oh, thank you. I can appreciate that one.
I am outside in my backyard, and the sun is shining. It is such a beautiful birds are chirping away, and it's just a good day to be alive. You ever have days like that?
Are you in San Diego?
No. I'm in Hot Atlanta.
Well, you got to remember, I live in San Diego. That's
oh.
Bad every day.
Oh, it's every day for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's two seasons. There's wet and there's dry. Most people say it's sunny and then it's sunnier, but I don't know.
Well, that could be good, I guess, depending on your preference.
It doesn't rain much here, so I don't know. Some people say it's boring. I don't know. I love this. I grew up in the Caribbean, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So this is like normal.
I just hate snow.
For you all the time.
I hate snow.
You hate snow?
Hate snow.
Well, you know, I can enjoy snow as long as it's outside. And I'm inside.
Oh, I can still see it from the windows. Well, that's just not my thing.
Yeah.
Couldn't live in Alaska. No way.
Oh, well, okay, whatever. We were talking earlier, just to get back to the format of the show, because people were saying, isn't this a show about recruiting?
Oh, yeah.
And not about the weather?
Hey, you got to bring people to San Diego. You got to take people to Atlanta.
Well, there you go. Come to Atlanta. It's a beautiful place, you know. Well, I need some jobs to recruit and just stay that. Well, anyway, I'm rambling. All right, back to the subject at hand. This is a recruiting show. So, tell me again, if you would, now that we're on the air, about that story you told me about the employment contract. I thought it was interesting. I thought we should sort of lead the show off that way.
Actually, you wouldn't even let me finish the thing because you wanted to.
That's right, because I said, don't tell me the ending. Just start off. So let's start from scratch, just like we were before the tape started rolling.
Okay. Well, here's the scenario, and I'm going to ask you the question and see what you happens, okay?
All right.
You have this wonderful contract with this beautiful client. I love this guy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You just are, man, he makes more placements with this guy. Okay. They have a contract. Contract says that you provide free replacements if the client decides not to terminate the candidate, right?
Right.
So you place this wonderful girl. She's been there for about 60 days.
Yep.
Your replacement guarantee is 90 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get an email from the client. Client says, I need a free replacement. I want to replace this young lady. She's pregnant.
And that's the reason he gave me. He wants to play just because she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
That is like such a lot. This is such a lawsuit waiting to happen there.
To whom?
Well, I mean, you can't fire someone because they're pregnant. I mean, it's got to break some kind of law, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, let's address that one later. Addressing the initial question. Okay, what would I do if I was contractually bound to replace a candidate that the employer was going to fire, irregardless of the reason, and that was how it was stated more or less in the agreement we had, then I'm sort of bound by the letter of the law in this case to replace that person, although I wouldn't be happy about it, not just because of money loss, but just because it's unfair. You can't really fire someone just because they got pregnant.
Well, that's an interesting analogy.
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people have that same kind of thought.
Well, that's what most people will think. I mean, gee, I've got a contract with a client. Am I not obligated to fulfill my obligation there?
All right, right.
Okay, here's the catch.
Okay.
Happened. This is a real-life story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the recruiter did fulfill the obligation of the contract and did do the replacement and is going to be paying out more than $500,000 with the client in regards to the settlement.
What?
See, just because you're legally bound, the law does uphold that you cannot uphold contracts that are legal.
So, wait a minute. So firing the person because they're pregnant is illegal.
Right.
And because the recruiter placed that person, the candidate who decided to sue the company for that illegal firing placed a suit against the company and the recruiter that
placed
them. Now, was this recruiter a corporate recruiter or was it a third party or something?
Third party.
This was a third-party recruiter.
Correct.
Placed somebody on a site.
Correct.
The employer fired them simply because they were pregnant.
Correct.
The person sued the company and the recruiter that introduced them to the company.
Well, the recruiter, if she hadn't gone ahead and replaced the candidate and, you know, and said okay to replacing the candidate and agreed to it, would have probably nothing would have happened.
Wow.
See, but the recruiter agreed to the conditions to the client and agreed that they were going to live up. In fact, that's what their argument was in court, was to say, but I'm honoring my contract. I'm obligated to honor that contract. Well, the courts say you can't honor a contract that's going to make you do something that's legal.
Wow. Wow. And the recruiter probably wouldn't even realize that if the lawsuit hadn't come up.
Well, I kind of think that they knew. I mean, I got to come back to that because there's a lot of recruiters that don't even realize that, you know, just because we're not hiring the candidate that the EUC laws apply to us.
Hmm.
So it's quite possible that the recruiter didn't know that these laws apply to the recruiter as well.
Hmm.
That could possibly be. Or they thought that they would never find, that the EUC would never find out about them. I mean, a lot of people think, well, I could do it this once, and
I get caught, and I'll be okay.
and I won't get caught. Exactly. But a lot of people don't realize, too, that if your client gets audited, the chances of you becoming audited are now highly greatly increased.
So when a third-party recruiter makes a deal with a company, you need to have some kind of legalese in place that says whatever happens, happens to you and not me?
No, can't. That won't work.
Why not?
Because your actions are still responsible for that person's demise, or, I mean, for that whatever happens, too. It's going to be coming down to your actions. Like, for example, let's say I had something happen to me too recently where a client said to me, okay, I mean, I hope they don't hear this, but I'm going to say it. A client
don't mention any names, just say client.
I'm not going to, but a client wanted particular candidates, and they said, we don't want candidates of a particular geographical location in the world, first generation.
Wait a minute, so they wanted people from, they didn't have
only
a...
Americans.
They only wanted Americans, so to speak.
So to speak.
Hold on. Let me play devil's advocate on this side. Okay, now, if I'm understanding correctly, they only wanted somebody within the country or local. Couldn't that just be relocation issues? Like, I don't have enough money in my budget to relocate somebody from, say,
First generation.
Oh. So they were using code words to say, do not recruit any specific ethnic
person. Exactly what I was looking for, ethnic, exactly.
Oh, so they were trying to talk in code.
Well, and then that wasn't really code. They said first generation, meaning they wouldn't even look at permanent residence.
So no one from a particular ethnicity need not apply, in other words.
Exactly.
And that is what they wanted to hold you under the contract.
Absolutely. Great job, great client, too, right?
So what'd you do?
I sent back an email saying, look, I don't care what you do on your end, but I'm going to continue to send all candidates, regardless of race, creed, nationality, color, whatever. I am going to continue to send the candidates that are best qualified for the job, and you can choose to consider hiring them or not, but as long as I do my end, I don't care what you do on your end.
Oh, that does a couple of things. It lets the client know that you will not be discriminatory in the people that you send to them, thereby placing all of the, selection criteria in their case or field or whatever word I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But it also protects you from potential lawsuits because you have stated and you have proof of an email that you were not actively engaged in discriminatory practices.
I mean, not only that, I've also right after that, I sent them a few candidates that did not fit their qualification, their prerequisites.
It fit the skill set, but not necessarily the ethnicity criteria that they were looking for.
I'm trying to be very diplomatic here. And so right after that, I made sure I submitted those. And I also kept every email, and I've kept every information, and I've kept a log of all the information. So should my client ever get audited, and they may have deleted my candidates that may have had that ethnicity background, I have proof that I submitted those candidates to them.
Ah.
So I keep a great tracking of everything that I've done with this candidate, this particular client.
I used to call that the CYA file.
What's that?
Cover your poop.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, the thing is, every recruiter should do that no matter what. And then you never know. And by the way, don't think about, if I delete this or delete that. Deleting gets yourself in more trouble.
Sure.
I mean, you will find yourself, and I'm going to go the beep word right here, in more grass. If you do not maintain all discovery of your data, if you delete your data, you're in more trouble. That's going to be jail. That's jail time, okay?
Because it looks like you're hiding evidence of
something. You are hiding evidence. Well, and the thing is, you know as well as I that they can go ahead and they can seize your computers and then recover that stuff, the information from your data.
Doing some kind of forensics on your computer.
Exactly. They will do forensics. I mean, in fact, one of my partners, he just recently was in a case where they had to do data forensics.
Mm.
It's expensive, and guess who pays for it?
The person who loses the lawsuit.
No, the person who's going through the lawsuit. I will have to pay for it. They'll have to pay. It's, like, really quite nasty. So the thing is, like, with this situation, I mean, the courts look at what is it that I once said that you don't have to have intent to discriminate.
Mm-hmm.
To be founded for guilty of discrimination.
So you can do it by accident.
Yeah, you can.
Or you can say, well, the client said he only wanted brown eyes and black hair.
Exactly.
And he didn't want blonde hair and green eyes or something.
And that's the thing. It's just because you have to make sure that your practice is consistently living up to the standards of the law and the letter of the law. Because, again, you know, for everybody who's out there thinking, well, this is just an occasion, it doesn't happen once, but only happens once in a blue moon, that's really a scary premise to look at, because these lawsuits happen more often than people think. In fact, you know what's so funny? I was challenged by a mutual acquaintance of ours who says, where's your statistics? Where's your facts? How come we don't hear about these lawsuits? Well, I'll tell you why. If I were sued, do you think I'm going to broadcast it?
Sort of bad for business to do that.
Oh, because my clients know guilty by association.
Yep.
And there is one recruiting firm here in California, very large national firm, okay?
I know which one you're talking about.
I'm not going to say who it is, but this particular recruiting firm, they got their files audited, and then they got a court to agree for the EEOC to go after and audit every one of their clients.
That's bad.
So people who think our clients don't care just as long as we get the candidates, hello, that's not true. Because these guys, even the companies who had very strong ethical and living up to the law behavior, they're now going to be audited.
And that just ruins everyone's day.
Well, you know, it costs money. I mean, think about it. If for me to be audited,
they'll
take my computers. I have to pay for lawyers. I have to go ahead and spend weeks, months. I mean, I won't be able to make any money if they take my computers while they're auditing me.
Right.
I have to deal with the headache and tension. And no matter what, it's like my partner said, even if you run a lawsuit, your average cost in one of these lawsuits is $100,000. That's not including the settling of the fees. Now, can I mention something else? Was this an interesting conversation about insurance?
Sock it to me.
Okay, somebody's saying, well, why don't you just get errors and omissions insurance?
Yeah, why don't you just get errors and omissions insurance, Karen?
Because it doesn't cover. First off, errors and omissions insurance doesn't cover stupidity, doesn't cover harassment, doesn't cover discrimination, doesn't cover. There's so much things that it doesn't cover.
So in those instances, you have to pay stupid tax.
Yeah.
What I call it.
Well, that's a good one to call it, because I mean, a lot of people don't also realize. For example, let's say that I bought errors and omissions insurance today.
Yep.
But the incident. But I placed a candidate 5 or 6 months ago, and my client's now coming after me because they find out 5 or 6 months now that the candidate had lied on their resume.
Is there a statute of limitation for that? Because I've heard of different CEOs, like the guy from Radio Shack, the CEO from Radio Shack, getting canned because he lied on his resume so many years ago, and that woman from MIT, the dean, who got cut for lying on her resume, even though she served in the position for so long.
I don't know that. I haven't heard of a statute of limitations, because I know that there was one with a hospital, and they went after this particular recruiting company. The recruiting company won that particular one. Now, there have been incidences where recruiting companies have not, okay? But the hospital is still going. They're planning to redo it again. It was a 2-year lawsuit, and they're planning to come after them again, by the way. This is how long these things last. It can be 2 years, 5 years, 6 years, and just dealing with EEOC or dealing with the court system, okay?
And how much money are companies losing?
Average is $500,000. Average is $500,000, but, I mean, you look at what happened to Abercrombie & Fitch.
Mm-hmm.
What was that, $250
million? Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty.
And I think it was PepsiCo that lost another couple hundred million. Oh, Walmart. That has the potential to be billions.
Isn't there like a lawsuit a day with Walmart for some
right now, Walmart's got a potential class action lawsuit of 1.5 million plaintiffs.
Let's talk a little bit more about that. I know you. And just as a disclaimer, I know that Karen is not a big fan of Walmart, but if anyone who is a big fan wants to debate Karen on Walmart and HR practice.
We're not going to the Walmart, and everybody still feels that Walmart's being picked on. Poo. Okay, we won't get into all
that. Let me just throw this out before you go into that. If anyone wants to debate Walmart, employment issues, all that kind of stuff on the show, by all means, send me an email, jimstroud@jimstroud.com.
Oh, okay.
I would love, because Karen will talk about it.
I'll come back with retorts on that one. Okay.
You're passionate about Walmart.
Walmart listen to this.
Right.
There is 1 million pages of discovery in this thing, okay?
Yeah.
Discovery alone has been over 10 years. And California Appellate Court has decided that this case can go through. Okay, it is definitely going to go through because Walmart has been fighting, and the California Appellate Court said, sorry, we see that there is substance to this lawsuit. So what happened, this, and by the way, the attorneys that are involved with this lawsuit, they don't lose. They haven't really lost, okay? They were involved with the Abercrombie French and all these other ones, okay?
Yeah.
So anyways, Walmart decided that women weren't going to get, this is based upon the discovery, okay? I don't know all the facts except I did read some of the discovery and some of the information on the Internet, okay?
Right.
Through the website of the company that's doing the lawsuit. They have the information on their website.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, long story short, allegedly Walmart.
Thank you for saying allegedly.
I'm saying that allegedly Walmart was not paying these women equal pay. They were not promoting these women into management roles. And if you look at statistics of what's in retail, predominantly women, okay, and how many professional management that they have in women, it kind of makes you go, huh, okay? And a lot of these women, so in other words, sexual discrimination case, okay?
Yeah.
They have, and potentially it's 1.5 million plaintiffs.
That's a lot of sex, dual discrimination.
Yeah. That is a lot. I mean, and it's for, I mean, it's over a 10-year period.
Mm.
So, I mean, Walmart on this one, they're fighting it tooth and nails naturally because this is going to cost billions. I mean, think about it. If you think about it, even if they just paid out $500 to each of these people.
Right.
Gosh, I mean, 1.5 million?
That's a lot of...
Over a 10-year period. Now, you got, remember, too, you got temporary workers who work at Christmas time. You got the part-time...
Are they liable?
Pardon?
I mean, can they be included, temporary workers?
Absolutely.
Seasonal workers can be included in
because
that.
Because they weren't being... Maybe these seasonal workers were coming in every season, every Christmas, every spring, every summer.
But they're there just for a particular...
They were not being paid overtime. They were not being paid... they weren't being paid fairly to the men.
That doesn't really... Well,
if the guy's getting $7 an hour and they're only getting $5...
And they're doing the same work?
And they're doing the same work.
Oh, well.
See something like that? That would help include the seasonal workers, too.
Ouch.
I mean, I was kind of scratching my head and going, 1.5 million plaintiffs? I mean, they don't have that many employees. And you got to remember, too, there's high turnover in retail, too. Retail has some of the highest turnover.
That's true. I've talked to several retail recruiters, and I feel their angst when trying to place people in those roles because they basically just want a warm butt in a seat.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because they're only going to be there for a minute.
The thing is, again, it's like when you look at how many women actually were at the time during this process, how many women are in management role in percentage, considering that the majority of women in retail, the majority of retail is women,
right.
You got to really scratch your head and go, why? Why is this percentage so low? It seems so discriminatory. I heard that they are trying to clean up their act, and they even won an award. I mean, I can't believe this. About a year ago, they won an award for being one of the best companies in regards to discrimination. Well, I guess, too, every time a company has been sued in regards to some kind of issues regarding employment, they have to take classes, like 3 years' worth of classes in that particular issue.
Well, that's a step in the right direction.
Really?
Well,
I guess that's why New York, they just lost a 300, what was it? It was $97 million in New York. No, it was actually 97 plus 86. So 160 in New York. They lost in California. There's a whole bunch of other class actions.
Well, you know what? A company that gets sued for, does a class action suit and loses for some sort of discrimination, that's the company that will do all they can to not repeat that same that same scenario.
I would say that should be true.
So many millions.
How many of these lawsuits have they gone through?
Well, how many of these lawsuits happen that are new? They could just be old business. You know, stuff gets in court and it stays there forever.
I don't know.
Just playing the devil's advocate. This could all be stuff that happened in the past so many years ago, and it's just now coming into practice. And since all these lawsuits have come about, they've made changes, so now we're not getting any new lawsuits. We're hearing all about all the old stuff that happened.
Oh.
I mean, just throw it out there. I don't know.
You've got a point, and there's some truth to that. I mean, those are the ones that have been settled. I would say that happened like 5 years ago and 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But there are some new issues that have been coming up that allegedly they have the courts just said, yeah, we can go through, and it's just starting, or somebody is now filing a new one. So I don't know. I mean, because they're always hearing about something, you know, and I guess they keep thinking that maybe we will go away. Or I remember it was somebody said this was perfect. They said, you know, if it was a company like, say, a huge corporation, like a Fortune 50, like an IBM or a Dell or a Google or something like that, and these people were making $60,000 and above,
yeah,
that America would have more of a major, no, that's not fair.
But because the salary range or the compensation range is so small,
yeah,
it's not really gathering the outrage.
But I mean, you got to remember, these are in the people that tend to work at Walmart. I mean, they're just typical average. They're typical, not just okay. They're the typical average mom and pop America. You know, some of them very low income, and unfortunately, these individuals don't even know the laws. They don't know their rights, and most of the time, America just hasn't really been paying attention to these individuals.
So,
but if it was a person who had a doctorate or a bachelor's or a master's or a PhD or something like that, America would get in an uproar.
So this is an opportunity for lack of a better word, an employee advocate to sort of be a watchdog for these type of things.
And that's what the union comes in, which everybody hates, but that's where the union comes in sometimes. But, you know, we got to say thank you to the reason we see more and more discrimination cases still today. I mean, it has gone up over 2,000%. Discrimination lawsuits have gone up 2,000% since 1978. Those were as of 2004 quotes, okay?
2,000%.
2,000. We haven't gone away, okay?
So you're saying like Archie Bunker is running the HR in a lot of these top companies?
Well, a lot of the times HR hasn't taught Archie Bunkers how not to be Archie Bunkers.
Hmm.
I mean, a lot of times, too, HR themselves don't even know. There's a lot of people in HR don't even know what the EOC stands for.
Hmm.
Look, there are 500, according to USA Today, okay,
yeah,
over 450 employment lawsuits a day.
450 lawsuits, employee lawsuits,
employment lawsuits a day. There are more employment lawsuits than there are actual bankruptcy cases. Two different types of courts, one's in state, one's in federal. But, I mean, seriously.
So I guess these companies are doing a really good job of keeping it quiet.
No, they're not being kept quiet. I mean, the thing about it is that, you know, each of these court cases are going to be held, like, okay, one will be done in a little local court here in San Diego, and it's not going to make the news. I mean, it's like we've got 6 million employees, and you may have about 10 or 20 or 40 of these a day just in San Diego alone, probably more. But unless it was going to be a class action, who's going to care? And it's like our partner said, he said, you know, Karen, you know, you hear about this problem, but then you never hear about the solution.
Hmm.
So it's like we'll hear about this major lawsuit, class action lawsuit, but if Walmart were to settle today, are we really going to hear about that?
So we've sort of gone around the barn on this topic, on a tangent. How can we relate all this back to recruiting for our recruiting audience?
Well, the thing about it is don't do it.
Well, there you go.
That's simple. Don't do it.
That's the walk away, and that's Karen Matt with the last word. Just don't do it. Sort of like the reverse Nike advice. If you have any questions or comments that you would like to have Karen and I argue over and explore, by all means, drop me an email. I can be reached at jimstroud, that's JIMSTROUD, at jimstroud.com. Any parting words besides the reverse Nike advice there?
Just don't do it.
Just don't do it.
Just don't do it.
Don't do it.
Hey, just don't. Okay, one word. You don't want to be the example.
That is a long one word.
Oh, that was a long one. Okay, how many words was that? Just don't be an example.
And with that, thank you for listening in on this episode of the Recruiter's Lounge. Bye-bye, Karen.
Bye-bye, I'm Jim.
Right now, millions of people are looking for and finding jobs on the Internet. But are you getting paid when they find a job? Well, now you can. When online employment sites like Monster and CareerBuilder came on the scene, they took billions of dollars out of the pockets of the recruiter. But now, there's a new sheriff in town called WorkGiant, the recruiter's best friend. WorkGiant is empowering recruiters throughout the country to take back your industry. WorkGiant is a national and broadly focused job board, but with some very distinct differences. One difference is with WorkGiant, employers and recruiters can post jobs for free, search the resume database for free, and only pay 1% upon a hire. WorkGiant markets through professionals in the industry. Why? Because it's your industry. As a professional recruiter, you have the employer relationships. You have the job seeker contacts. It is your industry. It's yours to take back now. WorkGiant will never replace recruiter value-added services. In fact, we offer you a way to monetize 95% of the market that currently goes to the online job board industry. Refer current or former clients and surplus job seekers to your WorkGiant affiliate website. Refer once, and you own the relationship. Then, get paid every time they make a hire for as long as they make hires. Someone is going to lock up your employer contacts. It might as well be you. Every time a hire is made by one of your clients or one of your job seeker referrals, you get paid. It's that easy. So take back your industry with the power of residual income from WorkGiant.
Well, that's it for this show. You've been a wonderful audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or just plain hate what you just heard, let me know. Your feedback matters. You can reach me through my website at jimstroud.com/podcast. That's jimstroud.com/podcast. So until next time, I'm Jim Stroud, and you're not.
Innovative Audio on Demand.